Oh, fatherhood. Let's talk about fatherhood. Let's talk about the two things that I feel all our kids need. And let's talk about hopefully not having a Friday meltdown through fatherhood. Welcome to the Rise to Thrive show. I am your host, James Borman. And if you are coming through, then please do let me know. Hit the love heart button. Make a comment, okay, below, and I want you to answer this question: what's your favorite part of fatherhood? And if you're not a father, what was your favorite thing about your dad? And then obviously share this with someone that maybe needs to share it. So I hope we're good. I'm walking pretty slow this morning because yesterday I had the big snip. Not very good scissors. So that was quite an experience. So we're just out here loosening up is the best way to describe it. But it was quite surreal. It was quite a surreal experience. Obviously not one I want to go through again. Which is why I wanted to talk about fatherhood, because I'm now pretty much guaranteed not to be a father again. Which was kind of weird, really. Even though I've got four kids, I decided to have the snip because I didn't want Gem to be on the pill forever, and she didn't want to put the chemicals in her, and it sends a doolally. And I think it's only fair that I do my part, having the fact that she's had two C-sections and brought me two beautiful children. So I think it was only time for me to do my part. So do you know what my favourite part of fatherhood and being a dad is the contrasting relationships I have with two different age groups, okay, as a father. Now I have a 14 and 16 year old for my previous marriage, and then I have a 7 month year old and a 4.5 year old. And the two conversations that I have with the two different groups, you can have group A, which is the youngest, and group B, which is the oldest. And on one hand, I'm having a conversation about where poo comes from. Where does poo come from? Why does it smell so bad? Why do we wee? Okay, and that's from the 17-year-old. No, it's not. That's from the youngest. And then with the oldest ones, I'm getting text messages asking if I've got a razor so he can shave his pubes. At 14. I'm like, why do you need to shave your pubes? And then we're getting into that conversation. And then we're talking about university and life from one contrasting event. And you never know what you're going to get with fatherhood, right? You never know what's going to come. 1 minute, you're going to get a disgruntled caveman young man, young boy, right? He's walking down here. Morning, son! And then the next thing, your four-year-old is springing down the stairs. And she's like, Daddy, how are you? I love you. I love you so much. And there's two completely different, contrasting relationships there. Which is great, right? And as a father, you never know whether you're doing a good job or not. There's not like a pamphlet or a booklet that says, hey, this is how you're doing. This is how you should parent. We've only got ourselves to discover, right? And with my first two, I was 27 and in a very selfish place when I had my first two kids, who are now 14 and 17. And the way that I bring up my kids back then compared to how I bring up my kids now is very different. And back then, I used to be the type of parent that would do everything for their kids. Everything, you know? And I didn't really implant an independent seed. We've got 50 guys! We've got 50 guys watching live. Great to have you all. I would end up doing everything. I would never really build an independent mindset in the kids. And you know what? Like, there's an element of that because they're my first kids and you love them, you don't know what you're doing. But then with the other two, I was watching my daughter the other day and I watched her walk down and into the kitchen. She's strolling in and she went, Alexa, play Heart FM. 4.5 years old, by the way. Heart FM comes on. And then watched her get a stool, get up, and she started making her orange juice. And she started making a milkshake and she started doing her cereal. And then she put some toast in the toaster and put the toaster down. 4.5. And I was sitting on the stairs peeking. I was going, oh my God. this 4.5 year old's got more independence than my 14 and 17 year old put together. It's just absolutely insane. But then I look at how beautiful my daughter has become and how amazing she is and the things that she wants to achieve. And you kind of think to yourself, you must be doing something right. She wants to help teenagers with mental health. And she wants to help teenagers cope better with mental health, which is a great cause, right? Bailey, 14-year-old boy, if you've got a 14-year-old boy, you know the pain that I am going through right now, trying to get them to work, trying to get them to do anything. And it's really important that I don't allow my own ambitions to dictate that relationship and force them on him. Because, you know, I left school with no GCSEs. I have to remember that. You know, I used to mess about at school, so I have to remind myself. And sometimes as a father, I always take myself back to when I was that age and what I was going through. You know, what was I doing at that age? You know, I was just like him. And sometimes I can be too hard, sometimes I can be too strict, but I'm only trying to do what's right. But there's two things that I think as parents we should only always give our kids, and it's the only two things I think we should judge ourselves as parents by. And it's the two things that I think our kids, it's all they need. Number one is love. I think telling our kids that we love them as often as possible is very important. Lots of cuddles, lots of kisses. And the other thing is just reassurance. And I think as adults ourselves, I know that a lot of the time, sometimes all I want is love and reassurance. And I feel that if we're going to bring our kids up, make them feel secure about themselves, I think it's about making sure that we let them know that actually we're proud of them, that we love them, that there is sometimes, that life is sometimes an experiment. We don't know whether we're doing the right thing or we're doing the wrong thing. And we need to be able to reassure the kids of that. And I think that's so important. You know, I'm not a specialist, I'm not an expert in parenting, but just in my 16, 17 years of experience, I think that's really what we can offer them. Love, reassurance, cuddles, kisses on the sofa. Even at 17, embracing cuddles. Even at 14, like having some man wrestles with the boy, but telling him I love him, telling him that I'm proud of him. They are important things that they then pass on to their kids. And that's what my mum used to do to me, you know. My dad died when I was 5. I then had an emotional bully as a father. And he didn't show me love and he didn't show me reassurance, but my mum did. Which is why I'm in touch with my feminine side, but still managed to keep my masculinity. But it's important. And it is a roller coaster. And you are doing a great job. Sometimes it feels that we're not. Some days, you know, you have to pull the 14-hour shift out of the bag. And sometimes you don't get to put the kids to bed every night. But it doesn't make you a bad father. It makes you human. So just continue being a human, showing your kids love, giving them reassurance, and just being an amazing guy, because that's what we're showing up for, right? That's why we're the elite operator. That's why we're showing up 1% a day. That's why we're being the best version of ourselves. And that's all we can hope for. That's all we can achieve. That's why we show up every single morning and we do what we do. All right, have an amazing weekend. Thank you everybody for showing up. Same again Monday, 50 people. I'm absolutely